such love, such wondrous love, that God should love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this.
assurance I find sweetest rest. Trusting in Jesus, I know I am blessed. Satan, dismayed from my soul, doth now flee when I just tell him that Jesus loves me.
gladly own him as my king. Now my raptured soul can only sing of Calvary.
Now I can
such as I am. Wonderful is love like this. Hallelujah. How wonderful. I remember when I was a young boy, our pastor in our church thought that he was hearing the word wonderful used too often, too commonly. So he told us from the pulpit one Sunday night, I think we should reserve the word wonderful just for the Lord Jesus and the things of God. Those are the only things that are truly wonderful. Really, when you think of the meaning of the word, that sounds right. I remember we were kids, and my father was also one of the ministers, and he, of course, stayed till the end of the meeting, so there was a family that always drove my mother home with her children, go to bed early, get up in time for school, and so on. My father stayed behind to close the church. And I remember the lady in that family, the lady, it was just a couple driving us home, and she said, I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm not that bad. I remember that struck me, because whoever said that when Uncle Hot said something, you just did it, you know. And that was really interesting to me that she took that attitude. But I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that again. But there's a lady in our church, Elsie Keller, she's still around, And she will not use that word wonderful. She remembers that night almost 50 years ago, I guess, and she will not use that word except for the Lord. I noticed that. But it truly is wonderful and amazing. Love divine. Now, Charles Wesley, I could say about Paul Gerhardt, this 400th anniversary there, they're celebrating that in Germany, and there's a whole series of events in the state church over there, that's the Evangelical Lutheran Church, that's being planned for the next 10 years, leading up to the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, or the event when in 1517, when Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the door of the church in Wittenberg. It's going to be 500 years. And they've got a whole series of events planned during these 10 years, starting with Paul Gerhardt's anniversary. But since we're not there, and we're here, I'd just like to recommend to you, Charles Wesley, you could do a lot worse than to take some of these hymns into your heart, memorize them. I think in our church at home, there are quite a number of people who could sing all five verses of Anne Can't Be without looking. Maybe some of you could do that too in your churches. I don't know. But you could do worse than learn Love Divine, All Loves Excelling by heart, or Jesus, Lover of My Soul. Some of these great hymns that Charles Wesley has given to the church. And the one we just sang, Anne Can't It Be. I'm so happy to see Brother Bob and Sister Lillian Petfield here. This is the first time here this season. They'll say, no, not true, but yes, that's true. Yeah. They were here pre-season, working diligently around the grounds. That's true. But now that the season has begun, so happy to see you. We missed you. God bless you and strengthen you. And happy to see you here tonight. I thought maybe there would be some folks who might want to give a word of thanksgiving to the Lord, some word of testimony or exhortation tonight. I want to take a few minutes for that after we sing number 85 in our camp books. Okay? 85. My tongue will praise Jehovah. My tongue will never cease to praise Jehovah. And let's sing this one out. Wow, the print is small, isn't it? It's fit for young eyes. But hope you brought your magnifying glasses. It's not too hard, though. You'll pick it up. And in our church, this is just a personal thing. I like to repeat at the end of the third verse, I like to repeat that His promises will not fail, and oh, praise the name of the Lord for my ending. Okay? I didn't come from Richmond, no, but I'm also cottager, and we didn't have the meeting house in the village yet, And that was before that, that was all woods down there. Well, there was a road, but where the village is all woods. And so all the camp meetings were here in this room, and the camp came together. And when we had the closing meeting, we did our little hymns and scriptures and things that we had learned. We were right here. I sat right there with the cottagers. And over here were the other counselors. It was the girls' month. And Sister Sarah Klaus was the head counselor. Who knows Sister Sarah Klaus? That wasn't her name then. It was Sarah Giardino. And she sat right up front here with her accordion. And she sang the song with the girls. And I liked it right away. They did it so well. I still remember that. So it has its memories here in this room. So I've been introduced to this song. Let's sing the last verse. Thy word is
Also, that Tom Salto, who was founder of the Richard Fellowship, and one of the motivating forces of this camp. Some of you may have heard of him. He was the speaker, I forget if it was today, today or what, and I was diligently taking notes whenever he said something that was good. Whammy, I would write it down. By the way, Steph, if you want a notebook, we have them for you, okay? You used to give them out, but we have notebooks if you want them. Just come to the office. But I was taking notes, and in his sermon, he had a way of weaving things in, and, you know, just sort of stocking it to you. And he says, and this is to be written in your heart in addition to your notebook. And he wasn't pointing at me. I took that for myself as I was sitting right in front of him. But that's what the Lord would like to do. He would like to make it so real to us by His Holy Spirit that He would write it in our hearts that we won't forget it. And it would just be one verse or one thought or one victory or something that the Lord would like to put in our hearts. And I'm praying that for myself and for all of us, especially for the stand, that the Lord would do something in that regard. And I know He will as we open our hearts and as we have faith to believe that He wants to change.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Wonderful words, wonderful words of love.
I'm thankful for these devotionals that we've been having that were given to us a few months back. I've already gone through it twice, and I skipped the month of June and picked it up again in July. But I was thankful for the whole thought about royal bounty. But yesterday's reading about the open treasure was such a blessing to me. And those few times that I've read it, I've made notes all over some of these pages. But I was thankful about His good treasure. And I think mostly when it talks about His riches, in one of the paragraphs it talks about how He, the unsearchable riches of Christ, and in Him are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, but the Lord shall open them unto thee. Riches of goodness and forbearance and long-suffering shall be meted out in infinitely gracious proportions to our sins and provocations and repeated waywardness. Then later on it says, faith is the key to this infinite treasury, and in giving us faith, He gives us treasure for treasure. And I have been going through the verses in the Bible that talk about His riches, and there's so much. I've been blessed by just studying about the riches of His glory, the riches of His mercy, the riches of His grace. There's just so much, and they're unsearchable, and there's just so many descriptive words that talk about it. But I think I was thinking of it so much so in my heart these past few weeks, even in Kingsburg, we've been hearing about living below our privilege. You know, as children of God, He has so much for us. And because He has all these riches, He doesn't hoard them for Himself, but He wants to give them freely to His children. And I was thinking of a treasure box or a treasure chest being on a table. And it came to me, you know, all we have to do is open that lid and take the treasure. That's really all it is. And it's the same with Jesus Christ and the riches that He offers to His children. He just says, now you go in, whether it's for forgiveness, maybe you need some grace, maybe you need some mercy. I was thinking of the other night when we had communion, the forgiveness of sin. He's rich in mercy for the forgiveness of sin in Christ Jesus. And I thought, I want to take that tonight, Lord. And there's just so much for us. And I remember hearing, and we talked about it in Kingsburg one morning at worship, saying, you know, as the children of God, He offers to us and He says, no, you take what's yours. it's not that we, you know, sometimes we feel, well, God, I'm not worthy. And, but Jesus says, no, you come. You just come and you take because it's for you. And so I'm thankful for these wonderful blessings. Thankful for the treasure that God bestows upon his children. And I want to be a better taker. I want to be found taking, whether it's for his goodness, the long suffering, but I want to believe, like it says, faith is the key. And I'm thankful tonight that we can all have our portion.
Precious, more precious wealth that can never be told. Oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ, precious, more precious than
it says, in wonder lost with trembling joy, we take the pardon of our God. Pardon for crimes of deepest dye, a pardon bought with Jesus' blood. Who is a pardoning God like thee? Or who has grace so rich and free? Hallelujah. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful Lord. So someone else starting to get up.
It seems to be at this period of the intent of looking through the book of Daniel, studying the book of Daniel, and haven't gotten very far in that endeavor. But I've noticed that in each meeting there's been something, whether in the context of the sermon or sometimes something taken out of context, that I find my attention drawn back to my study. We've spoken about the presence of the Lord being here. And one of the things that we heard was that one of the ways the presence of the Lord is manifested here on these grounds is through God's people, that as we come to camp, we bring the presence of the Lord with us. We spoke about how important it is to know our God with abundant pardon. And just different things that have come to mind. And the reason I haven't gotten too far in the book of Daniel is because my attention has remained in Daniel 9, in Daniel's prayer. A few weeks ago, maybe a month and a half ago, in church, that prayer was referenced. And I don't even think we opened our Bibles to it, but it was mentioned that maybe we should look at that prayer. And it's such a blessing and a prayer that I think we'll be taking up with the boys in the month of August. But I'd just like to read to really just the beginning and end of that prayer in Daniel 9 and the different things that have been a blessing to me as I thought on them. Daniel begins by saying, O Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. And he continues on. I just like that description of God, so I'm going to just go straight to the end of prayer. I think that's wonderful that God keeps his covenant of love with all who love him and obey his commands. What a great promise it is. But at the end, Daniel prays, in the 18th verse, give ear, O God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. O Lord, listen. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hear and act. For your sake, O my God, do not delay, because your city and your people bear your name. I'm so thankful that we can know our God personally. We've heard that we have that promise that God is always with us, and sometimes we don't claim that promise, or we're not conscious of God's presence. And I guess that came to mind as I read about that desolate sanctuary, and that sometimes we have this feeling that we don't walk with God, how important it is that we make that right. But here, I'm just so thankful for these characteristics of God that are mentioned, for his great mercy, that we have a God who listens to us, that we have a God who forgives, that we have a God who answers prayer. And I'm also so thankful that we can be a people that bear his name. And that goes back to Ephesians 1 a little. We have so many things for the praise of his glory, and just for it's just so wonderful that we can be a people that are known as have God. I'm so thankful for all the things.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus.
I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. I'm so glad I belong to Jesus. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Treasures of wisdom from marshaling some treasures. So that God is a jealous God, and if we don't give Him all of our obedience, He will not give us of the priceless, deeper treasures that come to a perfectly surrendered life.
Amen. Let's take our songbooks. In connection with that, Carla, we'll sing a couple of verses of this song we find on 345. Let's sing verses 1 and 2. Let's stand as we sing. Was the subject of that book that Brother Gardner wrote, Radiant Glory. Some of you have seen that or read it or heard of it. Here's a little devotional that was put together also by Brother and Sister Gardner. And we ran out of them years ago, so they were out of print. And one of the ladies in our church, she's holding it up, worked on that real hard to get a new edition for us, very nice looking one. You can get them down in the boathouse, and you'll be enriched by those treasures. Okay, thank you. Thank you.